When you come in the doors to Grace Baptist Church, you might notice certain things. When you came in this morning, you might have seen, or if you look around right now, you might see that a lot of people are carrying one of these. A lot of people brought a Bible with them to church today. And if you did happen to bring one, you can turn to Acts 2. That's where we'll at least begin this morning in Acts and chapter 2. They're going to be jumping to various texts this morning. But beyond that, you might notice that when we sing, the songs are sometimes the words of Scripture, and always, I hope, at least express scriptural truth. And then if you've been around for any length of time, you saw it this morning, we usually have a reading from the Old Testament and a reading from the New Testament. Two scripture readings from the Word of God here at Grace Baptist Church. I hope that as we pray, you've heard scriptural language in our prayers. And then what takes up the majority of the time of our service? Anybody? Preaching. Yeah, what we're doing right now. We might give about 30 minutes or so to reading and singing and praying in the first part of our worship, but then we spend sometimes 45 minutes in the preaching part of our worship. And just sort of as a side note, preaching is part of worship. We don't have the worship where we sing and then we have the preaching. No, all of it is worship. Worship is a dialogue between God and men. And God speaks to us in worship and we speak to Him. And so don't think that once I walk up here, we're done with the worship and now we're on to the preaching. The preaching is part of the worship. But it's a long part. Sometimes 45 minutes. Occasionally, I drift over 45 minutes, though I try to stay under 45 minutes. I understand those distractions, those difficult things that we talk about just a moment ago, those can make 45 minutes a trial. So maybe you've noticed, with all of those things, people are carrying Bibles, we sing the words of Scripture, we pray the words of Scripture, we read the words of Scripture, and we preach the words of Scripture. Maybe you've noticed that we focus here on the truth of God's Word. We order our worship around Scripture and seek to order our lives around the Word of God as well. Why is that? Why do we seek to place such an emphasis here on God's Word and especially the preaching of that word? Well, at the start of a new year, we've begun a brief series, taking a break from Hebrews. We've begun a brief series on the basics of what we should be devoted to as the people of God, the Church of Christ, and what it means to be devoted, what devotion should look like. So last week we talked about devotion, and in Acts 2:42, the first thing in the list of four things to which the early church was devoted and to which we are to be devoted is the apostles' teaching. You see that in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves, so we've talked about devotion, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And that teaching of the apostles is what we're going to consider this morning. That is contained for us in the pages of Scripture. And so the prominent place the Word of God occupies here at Grace Baptist Church is a reflection of our effort to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. The early church was devoted to those four things, and today we're focusing on the first one of them, the apostles' teaching. That's why God's Word, we seek to make it central here at our church. And so let's read a little bit of context, not quite as much as we read last week, but a little bit of context here in Acts chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 36. Verse 36 is the end of Paul's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and then the reaction to it follows. So Acts 2, beginning at verse 36, and we'll read down to verse 42. This is the Word of God. Peter's preaching. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. It's quite an end to a sermon. He said, the man you crucified, he's the Messiah that you were waiting for. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I've seen a little bit about what devotion looks like. Well, what were they devoted to? The first thing that we're going to focus on here is the apostles' teaching. And we plan to give one message to each of the four things in that verse. So this morning, the apostles' teaching, what is it or what was it? Why is it important? What is devotion to it? And what benefit is there for us when we are devoted to the apostles' teaching? So first of all, what was the apostles' teaching? What is their teaching? Well, their job was to proclaim the truth of Christ, to speak Christ's truth to those that they met. This is why Christ chose them to be apostles. Listen back in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. When Jesus is choosing the apostles, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. The work of the apostles was to preach and cast out demons and do mighty works in the name of God through the power of the Spirit. They did that while Christ was on the earth. And then, you remember what Jesus told them after his resurrection before ascending, the Great Commission. Some of you might have it memorized. He gave them directions as to what they were to do after he had ascended into heaven. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. We remember that part. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the next bit sometimes gets left off. We're like, we want to make disciples. We want to see disciples made. But don't forget the end of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Part of what Jesus instructed his disciples to do was to teach. He had instructed his apostles to teach those disciples that were made. And what you see in Acts 2:42 is that the disciples who were made were devoted to that teaching from the apostles. And these verses that we just read in Acts 2, they make perfect sense if you remember the Great Commission. Peter preaches, sinners are saved, which is go therefore and make disciples. Then they're baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them. And what do we find? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. You see the Great Commission work itself out there right at the end of Acts chapter 2. The apostles' job then was to teach those disciples that were made. And those new disciples were devoted to that teaching, as we should be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Listen to how Paul, the apostle, described his role. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, or part of verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. The teaching of the apostles was the message that God gave them. It was God's message for his people. Wasn't the apostles' own ideas? Oh, well, we're just going to teach whatever we want. No, they were ambassadors for God. God sent them with a particular message, with his word. So when the United States sends an ambassador to another country, it is not that ambassador's job to go rogue and say whatever he wants, whatever he thinks. He is to say the message of his government to that nation to which he's an ambassador. He doesn't come with his own message. He comes with that of his nation. And so the apostles didn't come with their own message. Their job was to proclaim the word of God. Their teaching was God's message. It was his word. They taught God's truth. So Paul, writing to Timothy, says in chapter 2, for there's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. For this, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Paul understood his role. That was his job, to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher, to proclaim the reality that there's one mediator between God and men. They understood their work was to teach, to preach, to proclaim God's truth. That was their job. Now, the apostles taught both verbally and in writing. And so let's take a few minutes to consider their written teaching and their verbal proclamation. We're going to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. We need to know what it is. So let's talk about their written teaching, first of all. Think about what our New Testament largely consists of. Historical accounts like the Gospels and Acts, and then letters written by apostles or with apostolic authority behind them. Our New Testament is the written teaching of the apostles. Early in the church, at that time, the absence of a written New Testament, the early church didn't have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, they had the New Testament. In the absence of that, the apostles and sometimes New Testament prophets spoke by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The apostles and some others also wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Their writings were received by the church, and as the apostolic age came to a close, so did the need for living apostles and prophets, since their teaching had been written down. Teaching the church received as the teaching of the apostles, as the word of God. It seems that as they wrote, at least to some degree, and as they spoke, they understood they were writing down the inspired truth of Christ. Listen to what Peter says about Paul. All right, sometimes the New Testament apostles talked about each other. So in one of the letters that Peter wrote, he talked about Paul's letters. And listen to what he said about Paul's writing. It's really interesting. 2 Peter 3:15-16. So Paul's writing, he says, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. Right? Someone else's message was given to him. The wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks of in them of these matters. There are some things in them, in Paul's letters, that are hard to understand. And we say, amen, right? Peter read the same letters that we read. Sometimes they're hard to understand. Which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. Some people twist Paul's writings like they do the other scriptures, which means that Peter viewed Paul's writing as scripture. They twist Paul's writing, which is scripture, and the other scriptures. Peter recognized Paul's writing as scripture. It's the written word of God. And listen to what Paul says about scripture. 2 Timothy 3. If you want, you go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. Hold your place in Acts 2 because you're going to want to come back there. I'm going to want you to come back there. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. So you can follow along or just listen. Verse 14, Paul's writing to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." And when he talks about sacred writings able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ, what do you think he's talking about? I think he's talking about the Old Testament, right? Timothy wouldn't have had the New Testament yet. And if he's had them since he was a child, sacred writings able to make you wise for salvation. He's talking about the Old Testament, I believe. Then, very familiar words in verse 16. All scripture, and that's a different word than sacred writings, right? You've had the sacred writings, all scripture, not just the sacred writings, but what's being written now. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It seems Paul, at least on the one word for sacred writings, another word for scripture, it seems that he is aware there's more scripture now than just the Old Testament. The inspired writing of the apostles. You can come back to Acts chapter 2. Paul also says in Galatians 1, "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." He understood. He was inspired. He had received it from Christ himself. And though Paul was not taught that gospel by men, it was the man, Paul's job to teach others. That was the work of the apostles, to take the message they had received from God and to proclaim it to others. And so They wrote it down for us in the pages of Scripture. At a minimum, that means for us that devotion to the apostles' teaching is devotion to this book that they wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We should be devoted to this book. I'm focusing on the New Testament because that's where the apostles are. So lest you think we're slighting the Old Testament, the New Testament treats the Old Testament like Scripture. You hear what Paul just called it, writing to Timothy, sacred writings, able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. The New Testament has a very high view of the Old Testament. So we are to be devoted to this book. It's the teaching of the apostles. But they also spoke. And we're going to do a little tour of this. So they wrote things down under the inspiration of the Spirit, but they also preached. They preached the Word of God. They spoke it verbally. We're going to do a tour through Acts, not hitting every account where they do this. As I was going through my notes last night, I started scratching them. I got too many here, too many. So I got rid of some, and I narrowed it down, and we're going to go through them, and you're going to say, you narrowed it down? But I want you to see that the apostles were preachers of God's Word, okay? They spoke. They wrote it down, and they spoke it. And the early church was, remember, the big picture, the early church was devoted to this teaching. We are to be as well. So Acts, we're here in Acts 2. Look at verse 14. Here's Peter beginning his sermon. We just saw the end of his sermon on the day of Pentecost. Here's the start. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Peter stands up and he verbally proclaims the word of God. He cites Old Testament and he preaches truth. That's the apostles' teaching to which the early church was devoted. Turn over to chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Or you can just listen. You don't have to turn, but you want to follow along. Chapter 4, Peter and John are under arrest. And the council says this, verse 18, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They were compelled. Paul talks about that. We're going to cite that verse later. But he said, we can't help but speak. The apostles' job was to speak the truth of God's word. Over in chapter 5, beginning at verse 19, the apostles were arrested and then they're freed by an angel. But 5:19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. The apostles' teaching. What are they doing? The angel says, go and proclaim the message. And they go and they proclaim it. They verbally proclaim the truth. We could look at other examples. Let's move on to Paul, the apostle, over in chapter 13. Sent out on his first missionary journey with Barnabas from the church at Antioch, and they come to another Antioch. That can be a little confusing as you read through Acts. There's the church at Antioch, then they're sent, and they arrive at another Antioch. And it's at the second Antioch, verses 15 and 16 of Acts 13. What do they do? After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So Paul stood up, motioning with his hand, said, men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. And he taught verbally from the Old Testament that Jesus is the Christ. It's the theme of his preaching, showing that Jesus is the Christ. Over to chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas, they're back in the Antioch that they were sent from, back in the church that sent them out. And what do they do in that church? Verse 35. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Teaching and preaching. That was their work. We could look. They do that in Thessalonica, chapter 17, verses 2 and 3. And Paul went in, as was his custom, on three Sabbath days. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Proclaim, teach, preach. This is their word. He did that in Corinth. He was there for some time. He did it in Ephesus. In chapter 19, he was there for some time. Look at what he says to the Ephesian elders in chapter 20. He's been at Ephesus, he left, and now he's come back near Ephesus, and he sends for the elders, he wants to talk to them. Acts 20, Look at verses 18 through 21. And when they came to him, the elders of the church at Ephesus, when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." We could look at Acts 28. We're not going to. He's under house arrest in Rome, and he's preaching the gospel to those that come to him, proclaiming the truth day after day. You can see that at the end of Acts 28. I even cut some out while I was going this morning. Feels like there's too many, but that's what the apostles did. They went around teaching, proclaiming the word of God. They were ambassadors. It was very simply the work of the apostles to proclaim the truth of the incarnate, perfect, crucified, risen, ascended, reigning, and interceding Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was their life's work. And it was that teaching of the apostles that the early church devoted themselves to. And it's that teaching that we as the church must remain devoted to in our day. You say, that's all well and good, but we can't listen to their preaching and teaching today. You're right. They're not here to speak to us. We can read what they wrote, and we have a record of some of their preaching, but we can't hear them with our ears. But you know what? The work of proclaiming Christ's truth is to continue. The church is to continue preaching and teaching, ambassadors for Christ, proclaiming his message. The work of the Great Commission, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them. That work isn't finished. And so we don't stop just because there's no more apostles. We're to continue that work. Jesus intended it to be carried on until he returns. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The age hasn't ended yet. And so we're still to be about the work of teaching, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them. We're going to preach the truth of God's word by his grace until he comes again. That teaching is to be ongoing. So listen to something else Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul says to Timothy, what you heard from me, you entrust to faithful men that will be able to teach others after them. There's four generations of teaching there. There's Paul teaching Timothy, teaching other men who will be able to teach other men. And on it goes, who will be able to teach others, who will be able to proclaim that truth in the church. It's perpetuating. From Christ through today, there should be an unbroken string of proclamation of God's truth. Men trained to proclaim that truth from generation to generation. If as the church we're failing to proclaim the truth, then there's something wrong. The message should be going out. We should be making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them. One of the abiding requirements of elders in Christ's church is that they be able to teach. Paul wrote that to Timothy. He aspired to the office of elder. That's a noble task. He must be several things, above reproach, husband of one wife, and so on. In that list, able to teach. He says to Titus that he left him in Crete to appoint elders in every town as I directed, that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed. For an overseer, and he lists some things, must be above reproach, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also able to rebuke those who contradict it. It's the ongoing work of the elders of the church to proclaim the word, to proclaim the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, the message of Christ. Now, our preaching is not inspired prophecy. It's not scripture, but it is by the help and illumination of the Holy Spirit, explanation and application of the truth that the apostles taught. Explanation, application, preaching of God's word. So that's a little bit about what the apostles' teaching is. I want to see, secondly, why is it important? Hopefully you already see something of why it's important. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
If God says we should be devoted to it, we should be. But God's Word does more than that. It shows us the importance of the apostles' teaching, which helps persuade us that we should be devoted to it. The preaching of God's Word is the ordinary means by which sinners are saved. Why is it important? Why is the apostles' teaching important? It's the way sinners are saved. Listen to Paul in Romans 10. Familiar words probably to many of you. Verses 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him? Excuse me. And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You follow Paul's logic. We want people to call on God and be saved. We want sinners to be saved, disciples to be made. But in order to call on God from a genuine heart, they have to believe. In order to believe, they have to hear the truth. In order to hear it, there must be preaching of the truth. In order for preaching, they must be sent. It means that God has ordained, the means that God has ordained for the salvation of sinners is the preaching of his word. And so if we would see sinners saved, we must devote ourselves to the preaching of his word, the apostles' teaching. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God for those who are being saved. So we preach the gospel, the word of the cross. We must be devoted to it. It's important because that's how God saves sinners. Second, it's important because that's how God grows his people. It is a means of grace for the growth of his people, as well as protection from false teaching. The preaching and the reading of the Word of God is God's ordinary means for feeding his sheep, growing them in grace. This is what we've called the means of grace. One of the means of grace. God blesses his people. One of the ways in which he does that, not just automatically pouring out blessing and boom, you're blessed. God uses people. He uses avenues. He uses channels to bring his grace to his people. One of those channels, one of those means, those avenues by which grace flows to his people is through the preaching of the word. That's why the church is called to be devoted to it. Another is the sacraments. Another is prayer. Another is fellowship. All things in Acts 2:42. You want a good, nice, concise list of the means of grace. Acts 2:42 is a good place to start. How God delivers blessing to his people. One of the ways is through the preaching of his word. And so we seek to be devoted to it. We need to hear the word. We need to hear it read and preached. Paul again says in Romans 16, verse 25, now to him who is able to strengthen you. All right? He's talking to God who's able to strengthen you. How does he do that? To him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. God strengthens. He does that through the gospel and the preaching of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, isn't that interesting? You received the word, you heard it from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. The faithfully preached word communicates to the listener the word of God, and that word is at work in them. You see that this word and the preaching of it is a means of God's grace for his people. No wonder we must be devoted to it. So Christ must be preached. Here's this verse from Paul. I'm being compelled. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no grounds for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's why we give such emphasis to it here. The importance of it is that it's the means that God has ordained for the salvation of sinners and for the growth of his people. It's a means of grace, so we must be devoted to the apostles' teaching. So thirdly, what is devotion to it look like? We've talked about what is it, why is it important, what does devotion look like? Well, read it, preach it, listen to it preached and read personally at your own level. Be reading it. Read this book. This is the Word of God. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Study this book and apply the principles of it to your life. Apply its teaching to your life. But if you don't read it, you won't know what's in it. Proverbs talks about waiting daily at wisdom's door. Blessed is one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. This is where wisdom is found. Are you waiting daily by its gates? You remember the Bereans? In Acts 17, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You do the same. Be devoted to this word. We've talked about this before, but just like you wouldn't miss one of your three meals a day plus snacks for some of us. Right, we talked, I think, last time about being devoted to our beds. I'm devoted to sleeping regularly. I'm also devoted to eating regularly. Three square meals a day, snacks in between. I wouldn't miss a meal if I could help it. Okay? The same way, shouldn't we be devoted to the spiritual food that we can't live without? This is God's means of grace to us. This is how he grows us. This is how he protects us from false teachers. We haven't even looked at those verses. We're not gonna. There's one of the reasons we need the apostles' teaching is so we know the truth, so we're protected against that which is false. You need this. You need a diet of this every day. I can't come to your house every day and read it to you, preach it to you. You wouldn't want me in your house every day preaching to you. You got to pick this book up and read it regularly. If you want help with that, talk to me. There's plans. Start with something manageable so you don't get discouraged with it, but read it. You need this like you need food. More than you need food. But we must publicly read and preach it as well. I think it's really interesting, a couple of things that Paul says about his written letters, what he wanted done with them. He writes to the Colossians in Colossians 4:16, "And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea." Paul wanted his writing read in the churches. Listen to what he says to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, "I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers." Sounds like we should be reading the word in the presence of God's people. 1 Timothy 4:13, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." And that word devote there, that's different than Acts 2:42, but that's okay. We're to pay close attention to, we're to hang on to the reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. And so friends, do you see, do you understand why you see what you see here at Grace Baptist Church? The word is central. We read it, we pray it, we sing it, we seek to faithfully preach it. We must do that. Pastor Bob Heaney from the church that planted this one in Bremen used to say that. We read the word, we sing the word, we pray the word, we preach the word. This word is God's means of grace to us. The church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, the word of God, and we must be as well. A little longer than you. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. My mistake. Was that one longer than usual?
Yeah.
A little longer blast? Okay. I thought so. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1 as long as we're... No, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1, not even close. 2 Timothy 4. We must be devoted to that word. The life and the health of the church is at stake. So listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy, probably the last letter that he wrote. Chapter 4, it's familiar words again, verse 1 through 5. "And I charge you," it's no small thing, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I charge you in the presence of God, he says, preach the word. Timothy's been ministering the church at Ephesus. He needs some help. Paul writes these letters to him, at least in 1 Timothy, he's in Ephesus. Preach the word. And doesn't what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 4 there sound like our day? People want to hear what they want to hear. What makes them feel good, whether it's true or not. And so they entertain themselves with myths and gather around them teachers who will say what they want to hear instead of embracing the truth. And that path leads to destruction. We need the preaching of God's truth, whether it is popular or not. We need that to keep us on the narrow way that leads to life. Others may say that we are outdated and irrelevant, have so much reading and preaching and listening to the word in our worship, both the medium, preaching, that's not effective anymore. Medium, this word is outdated. Come on, you guys got to get with the program. Tell us what we want to hear. They will say that the medium and the message are outdated, but we are called to preach the word. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Okay. The world doesn't like the message that they're sinners and need a Savior. We'll preach it anyway because it's the message they need to hear. You don't like that message? I'm going to preach it anyway. It's what you need to hear. You are a sinner and you need a Savior. And even once you're saved, you can't live the Christian life in your own strength. You need help. Not popular. It's God's truth. So we seek to proclaim it. Hold my feet to the fire. Seriously. My preaching had better be the preaching of the Word of God. Don't accept anything less. We want Grace Baptist Church to be evidently and abundantly a place devoted to the Word of God and the faithful preaching of that word. And if I'm a faithful preacher of God's word, then please pay attention to it. I could look at another place, just one passage on that, giving careful attention to it. James 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we're to be more than hearers of the word. We're to be doers, but we're not to be less than hearers. And when we come and hear, if we're truly devoted to the teaching of the apostles, we'll do what we hear. But we must come and hear if we're to know what to do. And so give attention to the preaching of God's word. Again, remember what I said back at the beginning. It's not on the recording here, but thank you for doing that. Thank you for fighting through distractions and difficulties and pain and whatever else to give attention to the preaching of God's word. Thank you for your labors to that end. May God give us grace to excel still more. So then, what are some of the benefits of this devotion to the apostles' teaching? And a little perhaps more application here. Since the reading and preaching of the word of God is a means of grace, we should expect grace. A blessing coming from the Word of God? Yes. Expect grace when you devote yourself to the reading and the preaching of God's truth. We should expect to grow and to be further and further distant from sin and closer to the God who gives us His Word. Expect to have your heart drawn out in love and affection to the Savior. Expect to be growing in holiness. Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The more we are devoted to this word, the less we should be sinning, the closer we should be drawing to God. And that is a great benefit of being devoted to the word of God. We should expect God's word to rebuke us in our sin, to encourage us in our discouragement, to equip us for life in a lost and fallen world. We should expect comfort in our sorrows from the word of God. This book, from beginning to end, points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. If nothing else, that's benefit enough of devotion to the word of God. It shows us the Savior Jesus, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. He's not just in the New Testament. You all know that. We talk about that here. All the way through, the main character is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as we devote ourselves to this truth, we should expect to encounter Christ. It's His apostles that did the teaching. It's His truth. It's His story. And what we need every day is Christ Himself. We need reminders of Him and His salvation and our union with Him. We need Him. We need Him present with us as we walk through this world and we encounter Him here. Devotion to His truth will nourish our souls and draw us closer to Him. And so if there's anywhere you need improvement here, pray for grace. If you've dropped off in your regular reading of God's Word, pick it back up again, even if it's just brief each day. Or think about what we call that time in God's Word each day. A lot of people call it personal devotions. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Devoted. Devotion to reading the Word and to prayer that we do privately in our home. I trust you've seen something of its significance. Let's devote ourselves afresh to this truth. And that's not just words. It will show up in our actions. And it's not, again, like we said last time, it's not just being here. Showing up doesn't mean that we're devoted. It's soaking up the truth that we hear and living by it and being doers, as James says, and hearers of the word. We talked about this last week too, but it shouldn't be a drudgery, another heavy burden to carry. This is for our joy. It's for our good, our growth, a delight and a privilege. We're not asking you to be devoted to, like, you know, a root canal or something that's just unpleasant. I don't think we have any dentists here. That's good. We're not asking you to devote yourself to something miserable, but to receive great blessing from the hand of a good and gracious Heavenly Father. When it's rebuke that's needed, it may hurt at times. But that too is for our good. Devotion to the teaching of the apostles will be for your great good and joy. So may we pursue it to that end. May the giver of that word get the glory. One other benefit is the salvation of sinners. The preaching of the word is the means God has ordained for the saving of sinners. So if you're here today and you're not a believer, guess what we're going to keep doing by God's grace? We're going to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to keep preaching the teaching of the apostles that we find in our Bibles. We're going to keep calling you to repent from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We're going to keep pointing you to the reality of forgiveness through Christ, that you can be right with God instead of being His enemy. And we're going to call you to respond to that in repentance and faith, because God uses the preaching of His word to save sinners. Greater blessing and benefit could there be? But friends, the benefits of devotion to the Word of God are nothing less than the growth of the church. Sinners being saved and added, and those saved sinners growing more and more like Christ. And that glorifies God, which is our chief end, our chief goal in life. So may we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, also that God might be praised. Amen. Let's pray.